And hello, everyone. It is the Unbalanced Note episode, Malcolm X 10 style. I'm Brian Kluger, the music show on the Multimedia Men Network, podcast network that is, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Again, Brian Kluger, and joined by the devilishly handsome Jacob Douglas. How are you, sir?
You got into real gray area with that Malcolm X segue there.
Well, doesn't X stand for 10?
Yeah, but I mean, Malcolm 10?
Malcolm 10?
Is that what he was? Is that what that was?
Similar to Ben 10, the TV show?
Never heard of it.
Okay.
Is it a British thing?
No.
Sounds British.
You're British.
I wish I was. It is raining outside. It feels like we're in... It looks like it could rain something out there.
Well, it's been raining for the last, like, week, and it's rained over, like, 6 inches here in Dallas, Texas.
6 inches? Would you say it could rain men?
It could rain men.
6 inches of men out there.
6 inches of hard men.
Oh. All right.
Oh, we're having fun today. We've been cooped
up. Yeah, this is our idea of a good time.
It is. It is.
You don't come over and talk about dicks?
Yeah, and just make a show about it and relate it to Muzak.
Yeah.
Speaking of, our main event on the Unbalanced Note today, our music show, is Bon Jovi. We're going to be talking about Bon Jovi. And
Why did you say it like that?
Bon Jovi. I don't know. That's where my mind goes. I can't just say, Bon Jovi hard. Yeah. I can...
Whoa. This is one of those podcasts where we wish we had a camera.
Yeah,
visuals are something else over here today.
It is something else over here.
And we had cake for lunch.
We had
what is fucking going on today? Actually,
cake and M&Ms and LaCroix.
Bon Jovi. Holy smokes!
And our one hit wonder, which we kind of gave you a hint at, which is going to be a lot of fun. We're gonna have a good time today for sure. But thanks for listening. Boomstick Comics, High Def Digest. We're on iTunes and Stitcher Radio under the Multimedia Men. Type in Multimedia Men. Type in Boomstick Comics into iTunes, and you'll find us. Where there's a multitude of shows, including this music one, Unbalanced Note. We have My Bloody Podcast, which is a horror show. We have Mediocrity, which is a nerdy show. And we also have an amazing wrestling show. Wrestling is everything.
So. I need to do a wrestling one with you.
We need it. We should do one. Yeah. We'll join the Wrestling is Everything.
Okay. We'll discuss that off the air.
Yes. We'll get Jacob in on this because we have lots of stuff to...
Fuck it, right? Gene Okerlund.
Yeah, Gene Okerlund and Rick Rude.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. Okay. So we'll move on to our first bit of news. I'm going to do a little bit of news first. So let's talk about something really funny coming up. If you thought it was still the 1990s, the 1990s media player Winamp is coming back in a very big way. Winamp. We all had Winamp, didn't we? We needed those custom skins, bros. Yeah. Bro Heems, Bro Montana, Bros of Goebbels.
Dude, oh, shit. Man, only you could say that, though, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't say that.
So, yes, the 1990s music player that was everybody's favorite, got to get those custom skins, is coming back next year. TechCrunch reports it was huge for MP3s. It was purchased by AOL in 1999, pretty much before going completely extinct because, of course, iTunes. iTunes took over. There was no more Winamp. But now...
It's
Winamp
back.
Is coming back
Don't
in
call
a very
it a comeback.
Big way. Desktop, mobile devices set to launch next year.
Is there a picture of it up? I'm trying to remember what it looked like.
It was... Yes, there is a picture of it somewhere. You know, remember it was like that gray thing and it had like all like the... shit. Like the time stamps and all like the audio dials on it that you can do up and down.
Yeah, I remember it a little bit. That's why it's like a MySpace thing, kind of.
Correct, almost like that. Yeah. Yes.
Like I'd have to see it, and then it would bam. It would. I remember the name though. I totally remember the fucking name.
Oh my god! Because
it was like fucking What were those, like, BitTorrent fucking things you used?
Yeah, like LiveWire, LimeWire, right. Yeah. Napster. But in order to play most of those, you would play them on Winamp because iTunes was not around back then,
right.
Nor
yeah.
Spotify or Pandora or anything else.
Yeah.
The only music thing you'd have to play on was Winamp, pretty much.
Yeah.
That was a big thing. And then you had to pay extra for custom skins.
Is that the thing that you could open it and then it would play like a 3D? You could have like some fucking crazy shit going on while you were listening to music?
Correct.
Okay, yeah, I remember that thing now. Well, how are they going to bring that back?
Well, because they're relaunching it as like an app for your mobile device. So instead of iTunes, you can get... you can get
that'll be really good for people that are into like
hallucinogenics
and shit. Yeah.
So like had all the dials and like your songs were in green, like electric
you can
green
fucking
text.
Do some fucking mixing, right? Everyone's a fucking DJ now.
Right, right. And I wonder if they're gonna have the custom skins for free or if it will be like microtransactions. Which fuck microtransactions. Fuck them.
Macro.
Fuck them. Okay. So Winamp. There you go. Let's move on to another piece of fun news, which is really fucking weird. Leonard Cohen wrote a poem about Kanye West called I Am the Real Kanye West by Leonard Cohen. Very weird. It's called The Flame, which is a posthumous. How do you say that? Posthumous?
I'm not even going to. I'm too high to do it.
Posthumous?
I think it's it's posthumous.
Posthumous?
So I don't fucking know. Why'd you make me do that?
It's posthumous.
That means after he's dead.
Yes, collection of poetry.
For all you dumbasses out there, we might not be able to pronounce the word, but goddamn it, we know the fucking definition.
Yeah, so This Flame is a collection of poetry released after Leonard Cohen's death, which was recently released, but there's a poem in it called Kanye West is Not Picasso.
That I will agree with.
Like, it has lines such as, I am the Kanye West of Kanye West, the Kanye West of the great bogus shift of bullshit culture, and I am the real Kanye West. Read it below. Holy shit. It's really funny.
This is like the closest he like maybe got to ever rapping.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you think he's, like, fucking writing it? And he's like, man, fuck this guy. I'm going to fucking really...
So I'm going to read this real quick for you, this little poem by Leonard Cohen, who gave us, you know, the amazing song Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
He's also on your team.
Yes, he is one of our tribe members, the Jews.
That is kind of like a...
But Kanye West is not Picasso. Kanye West is not Picasso. I am Picasso. Kanye West is not Edison. I am Edison. I am Tesla. Jay-Z is not the Dylan of anything. I am the Dylan of anything. I am the Kanye West of Kanye West. The Kanye West of the great bogus shift of bullshit culture from one boutique to another. I am Tesla. I am his coil. The coil that made electricity soft as a bed. I am the Kanye West Kanye West thinks he is. When he shoves your ass off the stage, I am the real Kanye West. I don't get around much anymore. I never have. I only come alive after a war, and we have not had it yet. I think he's pissed off at...
I think he's not happy with Kanye.
Fucking music.
Yeah.
Well, Jay-Z.
Bullshit culture. Yeah, he hits the nail on it. I mean, all you have to do is go outside and just look around at shit. You'll go, yeah, we're fucked somewhere here.
But yeah. No, I totally agree. It is super, super, super weird. But I like this poem because I fucking hate Kanye West and I don't like Jay-Z either.
Man, okay, so... I think that I don't like Kanye West either, like his music. I think he's overrated. But I do think it's kind of incredible that he like fucking went to the White House the other day. And like you read all that, right?
Yeah, he went to Trump and he's, yeah.
Yeah, like Jim Brown is sitting next to him. So I think it's kind of incredible, really, that the guy has enough balls, even if he's trolling Trump, right? Like even if he's like just doing this as a big publicity media fucking thing, right? Saying he's a conservative. You know, he's like a Republican. He's basically a Republican,
correct.
Right? I think it's pretty crazy that out of that crew of like the Jay-Z's, the Beyoncé's, the Puff Daddies of that world, because he's in that league, dude. He's a fucking billionaire. Like, he ain't broke.
No, he's not.
But I think it's kind of incredible that he's like willing to be like, fuck it. This is what I believe in. That's pretty nuts to me, but he is a fucking, I don't think he's crazy, though. I think he just makes bad music.
No, he's a shit show too, personally.
Man, I don't think he is, though.
No, like, he is.
I think it's an act. I think it's all an act.
I don't think so. I think he's fucking idiot. Like, I think he's an idiot personally, and I think he's terrible at music.
I used to think he was an idiot, and he is terrible at music. But I don't. I think he's acting.
I don't think so.
Okay, so like, you think when Britney Spears shaved her head, she was a little wonky, but she also, like, that was planned. That was methodical, dude.
Dude, I think she went batshit crazy. No, I think she went batshit crazy. People do batshit crazy things, especially, and I'm going to say this, women in particular, when they have like a meltdown, they will cut their hair off. They will do something drastically to change their image.
But
she went crazy.
It's not batshit crazy to go to the White House and talk to the president, no matter who the president is, right? If it's fucking Bill Clinton.
Well, everybody wants to talk to the president.
Not everybody does, though. See, that's the thing, though. Like, even in this Leonard Cohen. Do you think Leonard Cohen would have went and talked to Donald Trump?
Yes.
Fuck no.
I would talk to Donald Trump.
Yeah, but most people wouldn't, though.
Well, you need to talk to somebody to figure them out.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying I don't think Kanye is crazy.
I don't think Kanye had it in that mind. I think it's all about Kanye. It's what can I do?
Dude, I don't think so. Because you give
him too much credit.
No, I don't. I don't care for his music. Like, I'm not a fan.
I think it's
a pretty bold statement, like, on his part to do that.
I don't think so at all. Dude, I don't think he's bold at all.
Man, I couldn't disagree more, man. Because the fucking black community went after him for it. They're like, he's not fucking representing us. They said that they're going to trade him in the race draft, right? They did like a Dave Chappelle joke thing. And I'm like, what are you fucking talking about that guy like that for?
What
have you done? You know, like the chick that said that?
Yeah.
She ain't fucking marched her ass to fucking Political Central and talked to fucking anyone. She's on the TV bitching.
Yeah.
He is who he is, but I don't think he's crazy, man. Like, I think he's I think he's probably more in touch with what's going on than most of his fans. Because if he's brain dead, what do you think his fucking fans are?
Even more brain dead.
Exactly.
I agree with that, I don't think he's all there.
He's far from a genius. Well, I mean, he might not be. But like I said, it's pretty bold of him to do that.
Well, he's talked about running for president.
Well, okay. That fucking porno lawyer.
Correct, yes.
Stormy fucking
Daniels,
right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Her lawyer said he's going to run for president.
Yeah, it's
right?
not going to happen.
There's been idiots running for president for a long time.
And more power to them. If somebody will give them money, jokes on them.
Hey.
You know, great.
There's television shows for everything, man.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, Leonard Cohen fucking...
He's a badass.
I wonder what else... I wonder what other things are like in this. It's a poetry book?
Yeah, it's a poetry book. So find that because that
angry...
That poem would be worth framing.
Probably like a very angry book, I bet.
I bet so.
Like, I wonder if that's what he leads with. Like, page one.
Bullshit culture. I am Tesla. I'm cool. All right. Moving on.
I think Elon Musk should be fucking sued, or he shouldn't be able to use the name Tesla. That's fucked up.
I agree. I think he's crazy too.
He's an idiot.
A mad scientist.
Okay. Who's the bigger idiot? Kanye or Elon Musk?
Oh, they're both
right,
ridiculous.
But answer the question, though. Like, you're going to say Elon.
No, I'm probably not because Elon is smarter on many, many levels, but then he's really
book
stupid.
Smart.
Yes.
Right.
He started dating Amber Heard for some crazy reason.
That chick Grimes.
Yeah. Oh, holy shit.
But like, Kanye could walk down like through West Dallas. Right. You and I could. Street smart enough, right? If Elon Musk tried to walk down there, forget about it, dude. He wouldn't make it.
Correct.
He's like, I don't know, man. See, I used to really think Elon was cool. Like, I thought,
there's
cool,
so
man.
Much coming out.
Yeah, this guy's like shooting rockets into space and shit. Like, he was kind of like Tony Stark, right?
Yes.
Like, he had that fucking thing, and then he gets humanized, right? I had the reverse effect with Kanye, is all I'm saying. I'm never going to listen to his music. I think he makes shit music, but. I don't know, man. Something going on with that guy, dude. Something to watch out for.
Hopefully,
he doesn't run for president.
Nobody will vote for him.
Unfortunately, a lot of people will vote for him.
It would be awful. All right. Moving on. Does anybody remember, Jacob, do you remember that music festival, Fire Festival?
I think it's Fry. Or is it Fire?
It's Fire.
Okay,
F-Y-R-E festival it was like going to be like hundreds of thousands of dollars to attend. It was like luxurious. But then when people got there, it was like cots and like bologna sandwiches.
Yeah, it was like where the extras on Jurassic Park slept.
Yes, yes. So basically, if you don't remember, Fire Festival was this music festival that they got tons of people to promote Ja Rule, I think. Or, yeah. Or was it Ja Rule?
Yeah, to promote. Ja Rule.
When right there, if you thought Ja Rule was promoting something, you know immediately it was going to be dog shit. But,
yeah, and you got to give him $100,000 of your own dollars.
Yeah, it was something like that to attend for the richest of the rich. And they promoted lavish, bungalows.
It was in the Caribbean or something.
Yes,
too.
And for the richest of the rich. And so when people arrived, they were FEMA tents with cots in there and barely any bathrooms. And the food, which was described going to be gourmet chefs, lobsters and steaks, it was white bread and Oscar Mayer bologna. Well, needless to say, it went tits up really fast. People were stranded there for a few days because there was not enough transportation. Well, that was a few years ago, a couple years ago. But now the people involved in that have been sentenced to prison. Billy McFarland, who had one of the guys who started this festival, has been sentenced to 6 years in federal fat pound me in the ass prison on 2 counts of wire fraud.
It doesn't say that, does it?
No, but prison. Oh, no, I added that. Federal pound me in the ass prison.
It should fucking say that. That's what he did to those people.
Yeah, he initially pleaded not guilty, but then he later pleaded guilty because he knew he was going to go to
pound me in the, yeah,
for more than 6 years. But wire fraud and money laundering. He was running a business that sold fraudulent tickets to events such as the Grammys and Coachella and the Met Gala. So this guy is a jackass, as is everybody else who did this fire festival.
I think that guy was just capitalizing on other people's jackassery, right? Only a dumbass would attend any of those things you just named. Who would pay to go to the Grammys? And someone that does
tons of people who want to just see celebrities.
That's what I'm saying. Jackasses, fellow idiots.
But yeah, he ran the business that sold fraudulent tickets, not real tickets.
Even better, though.
He's going to prison. Good for that.
But he had to pay a bunch of money, too.
Yeah.
But who the fuck? That's like...
Ja Rule got off scot-free as of right now.
He ain't got no... What are they going to do to him? He already plummeted. You know what I mean? Like,
you can't kick a man when he's mad. No.
Look, check this out. Type in Ja Rule net worth, and I bet he's in the red.
Ja Rule Network.
But who's going to pay that money to go to a luxury music festival? Like, that's the most bougie fucking douchebag thing I've ever fucking heard.
Ja Rule is an American rapper, singer, and actor who has a net worth of $8
million. Oh, fuck, I was wrong. Damn. Well, way to go, Ja. Keep up the hustle. Stop ripping people off with bogus music festivals. Who else was going to be at this thing? Like, I bet the lineup was probably dog shit. Like, Sugar Ray and fucking Smash Mouth were there.
It was all awful.
Drew Hill and Mace.
I'm looking it up.
Genuine.
Fire Festival was going to be celebrity promoters. Kendall Jenner.
Okay, yeah, there you
was
go.
Was promoting it.
That's all you need to know right there.
I'm trying to look to see. Because I don't even think it happened. Because when people talked about it was like Lord of the Flies when they got there in Hunger Games.
I remember reading about people when they got there, and the reason a lot of people didn't make it to the island is because they were on Twitter. So these people that made it onto the island were like, hey, don't come to this thing. It's fucking bust. And then they were like posting photos of it and shit. But man, that ain't rock and roll.
Yeah, it doesn't say, but forfeit $26 million for wire fraud, and somebody else is seeking $100 million in damages. It's excellent. Billy McFarland and rapper Ja Rule. Fantastic. Terrible.
Ja Rule was like the fucking, wannabe like Tupac.
Yes.
Like, true. The fucking, that guy sucked. I mean...
All right.
Not
Fire Festival.
Yeah, you must be really bummed that your ticket didn't go through.
I know it didn't. I was going to go. All right.
You are a man of luxury.
In some news that Jacob's going to love, there is an Amy Winehouse hologram tour in the works. So if you want to see Amy Winehouse live in concert, you will be able to. They will be bringing her back from the dead in a hologram fashion.
Dude, I love Amy Winehouse.
Featuring a live band accompaniment.
Yeah, well, there's a Roy Orbison one in town this week.
Correct.
But you know what?
I love Amy Winehouse.
Dude,
I have
her albums. She was incredible, man. But I wonder if they're going to do it right and like they'll have like the drunk hologram of her. Right, like are all the pilled up, coked up one, like
yeah,
if she's laying down on stage, right? Or is it going to be like, who wants to see that? You know, like we want to see the train.
Well,
wreck.
It says we will do the best we can in terms of honoring her legacy. This is a celebration.
Yeah, so they're not going to do no fucking, I'm fucking pilled up right now and I just want to lay down on the stage with my legs wide open and sing this song.
So oddly enough and weirdly enough, there was... This is not the odd or weird part, but there was an excellent documentary called Amy that, you know, cataloged her life and career and eventually her passing. But next month there is a brand new documentary called Amy Winehouse Back to Black, which arrives next month, and it's going to feature previously unseen footage of Amy, as well as new interviews with Mark Ronson and Salaam Remy and more. Do we need another documentary about Amy Winehouse?
Nah.
Maybe it is just about the making of this album? I don't know, but...
Yeah, but it probably is about the making of Back to Black. Dude, she was awesome, man.
She was like, badass, dude. She had a voice. She just unfortunate. She surrounded herself with a bunch of assholes, and she had an addiction, and it just
man,
went
but
all the
like,
way.
She was kind of like the, you know, she felt like a rocker from like the 70s. Like
she had that old soul.
She just didn't give a fuck though. But
yeah.
Like I think she probably even when she like OD'd, like she was probably somehow weirdly like at peace with it, I bet. Like, she kind of, I bet she knew that, like, that she was just here for, like, a little bit of time, you know what I mean? Like, you have a fucking voice like that. You either straighten it out or you just don't do it. But, man, she was rock and roll. I always would have liked to have heard what she would have done with, like, a rock band.
Like, that would have been really cool.
You know what I mean? Like if she would have played with, like, Slash or something.
That would have been awesome. I mean, I wish she was alive today because we could have probably seen some better jazz
better
blues and rock.
Again, that's kind of like the thing where like you had her for that little window, right? And
yeah.
Then boom, she's gone, right?
Right.
She would have had a lot more longevity than a fucking goofy ass. Like now we're stuck with like Katy fucking Perry and...
Ew, gross.
Taylor fucking Swift, man.
Terrible.
Like
terrible ass, terrible. All right.
Although Katy Perry probably has like the nicest... boobs. Right? Like I can't say that, but Ellen can.
Ellen can. That's what yeah. we're speaking for Ellen here.
Yeah. I only speak for the lesbian community. We both like the same thing.
We do.
Never would I say I'm representing the homosexual community. I'm here to talk about cocks and balls.
Yes.
I'm here to not
Clits
commanders.
I'm a clit commander. You see this face? You see this clit?
But she does, man. Like, I don't... Katy Perry, shit music. She is hot, though. God damn. And, man, do you think
A lot of them are hot.
Do you think Amy Winehouse was hot? I thought she was real hot.
At one point in time, there are portions of her life where she had, like, the dress on and she had the hair done up. Or just her hair down.
That big-ass hair.
God
yeah,
damn,
dude.
She looks so gorgeous.
Man, she was cool, man. Like. Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate, dude. Heroin sucks.
Heroin sucks.
You should try it sometime just to see.
It's the best thing, right?
Dude, yeah. Oh, yeah. You could probably take a punch from, like, Mike Tyson. Like, it just gives you this fucking, like... Drugs are bad. I'm not advocating the use of drugs at all. However, yeah.
You should try it.
Well, I mean, you should. I think everyone should try it, actually. If you're an addict, though, obviously don't. But if you can go, hey, yeah, if you're capable of like saying, yeah, I can have one beer. Yeah, fucking shoot some dope or something. Have a good time.
All right.
Indians did it. Elizabeth Warren, right? She's fucking Native American.
Yeah, she is.
Did you see that thing?
The Cherokee Nation came out and said something in response.
They should have, though.
Yeah.
Like, you think those people have ever taken a fucking DNA test?
No.
There's a family thing that happens.
Correct.
Like, yeah, we got to say, we're not... focus today. I've been doing drugs all day. Not hard drugs though.
All legal drugs.
Just smoking. Well, yeah, legal in some
menstrual
states.
Pills.
Dude, those things fuck you up. Do you remember Kramer and Twitch? They were on the Eagle. They were like radio.
Vaguely.
They used to prank call people.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
They fucking called a drug rehabilitation place one time, and they said, yeah, we've just been up for like 3 days, and we don't know what to do. And the woman on the other line's like, well, what have you guys been doing? They're like, we've been smoking tampons. And the lady's like, excuse me? They're like, yeah, we think there's like something in the plastic. And then like the ones for like there's like wider ones, I guess. They're like, yeah, we just started off on like
with wings.
Yeah, normal size ones, and now we're smoking these wide ones, and you know, we think our lungs are fucked up. The lady's freaking out on the other line because she's like, you can hear the panic in her voice. She's like, I've never encountered, we don't know you're smoking what? Tampons? So don't smoke tampons, but do try heroin.
Or don't.
Yeah, switch it up. You could reverse it.
Okay, let's move on. A fun bit of news. Wu-Tang Clan. There's a TV show from Wu-Tang Clan coming to Hulu exclusively. The RZA is co-writing and executive producing. The TV show is called Wu-Tang, an American Saga. Very, very, very excited about this. There'd be 10 episodes.
Man,
It's based on Wu-Tang's origin story, as well as some of RZA's books, The Wu-Tang Manual and The Tao of Wu.
Dude, these guys need to fucking get their shit together. They just need to start making music. Like this, I'm tired of this fucking origins of Wu-Tang. They didn't even come up with that. That's all that fucking...
So you're not excited about this?
No. I want them to make music. I'm tired of them doing this stuff. They all do this. Like, they'll make, one of them will make, like, Ghostface album will make a fucking album.
There might be new music to this,
They ain't
though.
Gonna do no fucking new All right. music, man.
The description reads, set in the early 90s, New York, at the height of the crack cocaine epidemic, the show tracks the Klan's formation, a vision of Bobby Diggs, a.k.a. the RZA, who strives to unite a dozen young black men that are torn between music and crime, but eventually rise to become the unlikeliest of American success stories, the Wu-Tang Clan.
Do you know where they got their name? You know, this is like an old like martial arts.
Oh yeah, because they're so into the martial arts. Yeah. They've done scores for martial art that the 37 strings of Shaolin or something like that.
Yeah, 36 chambers.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
So yeah, kind of cultural appropriation. Actually, they stole from Asians.
They love it. They did.
I just wish they would make.
They mix the cultures.
I wish they would make music, man.
Brian Grazer. Like Ron Howard's Brian Grazer, who does all of Ron Howard's movies, Brian Grazer is producing this. In addition, with all of the Wu-Tang Clan members, including the estate of Old Dirty Bastard, rest in peace. We loved you.
This is the worst one.
It currently does not have a release date yet, but it is coming next year. 10 episodes. Wu-Tang, Hulu.
Oh, it's a mini series?
Well, it's 10 episodes right now. Might go on for more.
Well, if it's just the origin of them.
Yes. Let's move on to a bit of really odd, weird, sadistic news that Jacob can't wait to dive balls deep in.
You've said that about all these, and I've not got excited. And you made me kind of praise Kanye. I don't like this.
Lindsay Buckingham.
Oh, yeah.
Sues Fleetwood Mac for hiring him. I remain deeply surprised.
Firing.
And
firing.
That's what I said. What'd I say?
Hiring.
I meant firing him. Yeah. For hiring him.
Hey, you guys, fuck y'all.
Fuck y'all, yeah, for firing him. I remain deeply surprised and saddened, says Lindsay. Yes, Lindsay Buckingham has sued Fleetwood Mac for firing him because Buckingham says he was informed by his manager that Fleetwood Mac would proceed with its upcoming and already organized 2018 to 2019 concert tour without him, and that not a single member of the band spoke to him directly about the decision. What do you think about this? Why did they fire him?
Well, they fired him and they got Mike Campbell from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, his guitar player. They got Mike Campbell and Neil Finn from Crowded House. So they fired Lindsey Buckingham and brought those two guys in. But I've read a bunch about this and either.
Well, so what he says, Buckingham concedes.
He wanted to do like a solo tour.
Correct.
And then they didn't want to wait.
Correct. They declined that request.
Right. So then some shit happened. Fleetwood Mac is like the fucking, that's why they made like daytime soap operas. Like they're like the daytime soap opera band. There's always been some shit going on with these guys. They've had a ton of people in this fucking band. Like Fleetwood Mac started out and there was no girls in the band. They were like a blues band, Peter Green. Like that's the best Fleetwood Mac when there's no chicks in the band.
Well, you know, it's weird because like Fleetwood Mac's like, okay, so he has a solo tour and supposedly Lindsay said he would delay his solo tour to do the Fleetwood Mac thing. But then he was reportedly told that he was not part of the tour anymore and they cut him off like everybody did.
Yeah, well, he was also wanting to like, so if he was going to do the Fleetwood Mac tour in between, because Fleetwood Mac only, when they do a tour, they play like 20 shows.
Right.
You know, they're not playing three shows a week. They're doing a show a week, maybe, and then like a couple of days, because that's a big production, you know?
Correct.
But he was wanting to do shows in between, so solo shows during the Fleetwood Mac tour. And they were like, no, you can't do that. But yeah, he got fired through the manager, like Irving Izoff.
Yeah.
Called and said, you know, Stevie Nicks doesn't want to be on stage with you ever again and blah,
exactly,
blah, blah.
Exactly, Stevie
wants. Yeah, and fucking. Dude,
old are these people?
Well, they're probably in their 60s or whatever. But, man, you know, like how Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham got into the band is a pretty, like, interesting story. They were recording that. You ever heard that Buckingham Nicks album where they're both like their faces on the front of it?
Mm-mm.
Google it. You'll recognize the cover when you see it. So the studio they were at in like California, Sound City. I think it was in California, Sound City Studios. They were in there working on an album, Lindsey Buckingham and fucking Stevie Nicks. And then in another room. Mick Fleetwood was up there, like, working on the first...
Buckingham Nicks, yeah, I see it. Like, they're kind of naked.
Yeah, they're definitely naked. But they were, like, a couple, you know, but... So Mick Fleetwood met him up there and heard what they were doing, and he's like, man, I fucking like that. So then, you know, of course, they did Rumors, you know, which is fucking... That's the album.
Which everybody knows.
Loves, yeah. Like, go out and buy some crystals and a fucking witch hat, right?
Correct.
Fucking Fleetwood Mac starter kit.
Yeah.
But then, you know, there's a fucking lot of drugs in that band, a lot of alcohol, fucking, you know, they've been a band for a long time, but I think the reason he got fired is if Tom Petty would not have died, you know, and the Heartbreakers would have still continued on, Lindsey Buckingham wouldn't be fired. Stevie Nicks has always wanted to be in Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Always. She even told Tom Petty, like, if I can join the Heartbreakers, I will quit Fleetwood Mac. And Tom Petty's rule was, there's no girls in the Heartbreakers. Like, that was the thing.
Yeah.
They were the boys, you know what I mean? So, when he died, I bet she went, hey, I can get Mike Campbell to play guitar for me now. And this is as close as I'll ever get to being in the Heartbreakers. To play with Mike Campbell, like if you were going to put those musicians in Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers in order of like credit, like a contribution.
Yeah.
Tom Petty, one, Mike Campbell, two. Like they're a duo. They're like Lennon McCartney.
Yeah.
Like yin yang. That was an incredible songwriting duo. Same with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. Totally different writing style, but wrote... They knew their target market, right? And they fucking wrote all these songs for like house moms and shit, right? Hmm. Fleetwood Mac. They ain't rock and roll, but all the stuff before Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks in the band, like Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
Dude, that shit, that's like some of the best music across the board.
It's funny that
the Beatles stole songs from them.
Yeah.
They did.
Which ones?
Albatross.
Ah.
And one or two, like John Lennon was like a massive Peter Green fan. Everybody was, even B.B. King. B.B. King was like, Peter Green's the only guitar player that's ever given me chills. So that's like the ultimate compliment to get from anyone.
Yeah, there you go.
B.B. King, dude.
B.B. King, he knows shit.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, I think, but Lindsey Buckingham should have sued. He should sue him for this.
So do you think he'll actually win?
Oh, yeah. It'll be too. I think it's be too expensive for the Fleetwood Mac crew to that set of lawyers to even want to pursue. Because then you get some like bad blood out in the press or something, and then people are like, "Well, I don't even want to." Could hurt ticket sales, right?
Right.
People could go, "Oh, well, I'm not. I don't want to. You know, that's weird. You know, this doesn't seem right." Not that I think it would, but it's probably a settle out of court thing. You know, they'll give him a cut of what the tour makes, I bet, just to shut him up.
Well, we'll see. I just like that Lindsay and Stevie. Lindsay Buckingham is the dude and Steve Nicks is the chick.
Well, and rocking look who got fired.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Women are the future. You're out.
You're
even
out.
Even though it's going to rain men.
Yes, there you go.
Women are the future.
All right, here's a bit of news. Moving on, a bit of news that Jacob will like. Coldplay has announced a career-spanning documentary film that will debut next month. It's called A Head Full of Dreams. You're excited, right?
This is the worst podcast ever.
I'm quitting.
Oh, God. Is that a joke? They're wasting money on this?
I don't get Coldplay. Like, I've never liked any of them. And I know people who love Coldplay. And I'm like, I don't like it. I don't like Coldplay at all.
Dude, Coldplay is like a cultural phenomenon that shouldn't have happened.
Which is super weird. Yeah, I totally get it. So,
they're huge. Like, I think even last week, right, when we looked up some list that was like the top 10.
Oh, top 10
UK singles.
Coldplay was on there.
Yeah, like Olivia Newton-John.
Above the Beatles.
They were ahead of the Beatles. And I was like, what? Coldplay. How is that possible?
They've been around 20 years. The film, the documentary, is directed by Matt Whitecross, who did Oasis Supersonic. And it's going to feature archival footage, behind-the-scenes clips, and live performances. It's going to be exclusively on Amazon Prime starting November 16th. And
why are you plugging this? Like, we should be making fun of this, not your advertising.
You're
advertising for it. Are you getting paid?
I'm not. Well,
are
maybe.
You getting a check and I didn't know about it?
Maybe.
Is that how you made that cake?
That's how I made that cake.
Fuck, that's a Coldplay cake.
It's a Coldplay cake and you loved it. But I don't get it. Like, the only song I really know of Coldplay is the one that was in like every movie and trailer.
Do you know who Joe Satriani is, the guitar player?
Yes.
He sued them and won.
Excellent.
Yeah, they stole a melody of his.
I didn't. You know, it's really weird because if you're a musician and you kind of like pick up something from somebody else, why don't you call them like, hey, can I use this? I love this. Come over and record.
No,
because
Coldplay probably fucking went, well, none of our friends know who, our fans know who Joe Satriani is. They probably thought he would never hear their music too, right?
Yeah.
And then he went, hey, wait a minute. And there's no questioning it. Like, it's a fucking, they said, yeah, you're right. And they paid him. Good for Joe Satriani, though, right? Like, fuck these guys.
No, I don't like Coldplay at all. And I always...
Isn't he married to, like, Gwyneth Paltrow or something?
The lead guy?
Yeah.
Of Coldplay? I believe so, yes.
Look it up. Chris Martin is his stupid name. I mean, dude, they're like the fucking...
That's good.
Coldplay is a band that... For people that work in like the buildings downtown, right?
Chris Martin, yes. Him and Gwyneth Paltrow were married. They divorced in 2016.
She's crazy, man.
She's insane,
like,
too.
Idiot.
But yeah, they are.
They're like a U2 cover band.
Good God.
Right? I mean, fucking Coldplay. God damn it. Why are we talking about these things? And then we're going to have to talk about Bon Jovi.
I'm going to read you a series of sentences about Chris Martin, and I can't wait for you. Like, it says everything you need to know. Chris Martin forces himself to drink vodka with cranberry juice when he behaves like an idiot, and PETA named him the world's sexiest vegetarian. However, he began eating meat again after a split with Gwyneth Paltrow. That says all you need to say. Ugh. Oh, no. I mean, say what you will about them personally, but I just don't get the music craze about Coldplay. Like, I know people who love them and like, I'm going to go see Coldplay. I'm like, oh,
you answered your question. It's a direct reflection of his personality. That's what you get.
Yeah.
Like, that music you don't hear that music and go, I want to hang out with that guy. Like, you listen to fucking something off Sticky Fingers and you go, man, I want to party with the Stones. Nothing about Coldplay gets anyone excited unless they like push pencils all day.
Very, very interesting. Okay.
Can we talk about something rock and roll for a minute?
Yes.
Like anything, like Lynyrd Skynyrd or something?
Well, hold on. new bit of news. Tame Impala is going to release new songs with Theophilus London, which I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it's going to be called Theo Impala. and that's going to be coming up there. We have a show with them too and an album. So I don't know who that is, but
wait a minute.
I know Tame Impala, but I don't know Theophilus London. Yeah. Though.
Tame Impala's cool, man. That's good. They have one of the a really cool music video of like this chick getting eaten out, and it gets all psychedelic and stuff.
Okay,
it's in a gymnasium.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I said gymnasium.
A gym.
Well, because it's got like an 80s. No, it's got like an 80s vibe to it. Like, gyms didn't start happening until the 90s. They were all gymnasiums. Then the gym happened. It's true.
The workout gym. It was called a gymnasium with the high shorts.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Sweatbands and shit.
I remember.
Do you know who invented the gymnasium?
Who?
Or he invented basketball.
Namath?
No. His name was like Joe Naismith.
Joe Naismith.
It like kind of transitioned.
Why did I say Naismith? I knew Naismith. Yes.
Yeah, because it sounds like gymnasium.
Yeah, well, I lived in a dorm called Naismith and University of Kansas, where it's big basketball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, he invented basketball.
All right, moving on. Prince, his estate tells Trump to stop playing Prince songs at his rallies. And I'm just trying to figure out, what is Donald Trump playing Prince with?
Pussy control. What are you talking about?
Goddamn, yes.
That's his fucking theme song, dude. Here we go. Now the fire is lit, dude.
The fire is lit.
I'll be honest. This cast, I was like, man, we need to get into second gear here. And we just fucking went to fourth gear, dude. Pussy control. Trump
comes out to pussy control. No, yeah. He doesn't.
How incredible would that be, though? I wonder what song he is using.
Purple Rain.
But that's why, though.
He's using Purple Rain, and he used it earlier even at a Mississippi rally. And
God, that's like the worst place to play that song.
Exactly.
Mississippi.
Purple Rain.
To be a bunch
Purple
of fucking...
Purple Rain. And like all these rednecks are like, what the fuck is this?
Cousin fuckers out in the crowd, right? Like, what this motherfucker talk about?
But this is not the first time Neil Young told Trump to stop using Rockin' in the Free World, for sure. And Steven Tyler, you asked him to stop using one of his songs at the rally as well. But now Prince's estate. What is Trump? Why is he using Purple Rain? Pussy control sounds, I mean, would make more sense.
Not PC, dude. PC culture, man.
Pussy control. If it was culture, his... PC. Yeah. Pussy control.
If it was up to him, I bet he would use that. Well, I know the Stones are he uses "Can't Always Get What You Want" too, which is great. Like, because he's like he's the troll. You know what I mean? Like, he's the ultimate fucking troll. But that's the unfortunate thing with when you do music, though, is you could have when you release it, your fan base. You could have serial killers, or you could have fucking lottery winners and anything in between. You know, you don't get to dictate who's your fan,
right?
So when you make something like that. Kind of free reign. It's not in a movie, there's no licensing that needs to happen.
Right.
He can fucking use whatever he wants. Like Neil Young said, rocking in the free world.
Keep on rocking in a free world.
Right. That's like, think of it this way. It would be like if Jeffrey Dahmer would have said, hey, when I was fucking chopping up all these people, I was listening to fucking ABBA. Right. And then then you would have to go, oh, we got to pull all these ABBA things because it makes, look what it did. This guy fucking went out and killed everyone. It's like he can use whatever song he wants.
You just use some Ted Nugent shit.
Well, dude, that would be badass though. Right. No, if he came out to like Cat Scratch Fever again, maybe I need to get a job. With the Trump administration.
You need to be a campaign manager.
Yeah. Well, man, not a campaign manager. I would create him his ultimate playlist.
Cat Scratch.
You know, I'm serious. Like,
Cat Scratch,
dude,
Fever.
I would say, hey, look, buddy. You did this locker room talk thing where you talk about grabbing him by the pussy, right? We get it. You know, nothing wrong with being a heterosexual male, right? I don't think there is. You?
Within regards to what?
Anything.
To being a male?
Heterosexual male.
Of course not.
You would never, I would never, well, actually, I've probably said things on the same playing field as grabbing by the pussy, but it would be funny, like, there's so much money in, like, politics, right? You probably could get a job doing something like that, creating playlists for politicians, right? This guy's a piece of shit. He should listen to Coldplay all day. then you get like the Anthony Weiner guy, right?
Yes.
Just give him all kinds of just filth, right? You ever heard Gigi Allen? You know what I mean?
Walks out to Gigi Allen, yeah, ICP.
I'm telling you, maybe that's how we need to get these politicians in line.
It's weird to come out to Purple Rain. I wish it was Bat Dance. It would be awesome.
Anything other than, Dance. I guess, but everybody knows Purple Rain, though. Like, who doesn't know that song?
But like, I don't get it. It's weird. It should have been Pussy Control because it's very PC.
No, yeah. They really dropped the ball on that one.
I'm sure it came up.
Yeah.
I'm sure it came up.
Yeah. I would hope so.
So Prince, maybe, yeah. If he was alive still.
He wouldn't even acknowledge it, dude. He's that guy was so beyond that. You ever heard him say anything political?
No.
Yeah, he transcended
it. He just wants like...
You know exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
Like a secret triangle.
Prince was lived by two ways. It was Jesus Christ and pussy.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying about all of the songs, about those two things.
He's kind of like the ultimate, like, kind of like a pastor, you know what I mean? Who's like using God to get pussy, right? That's kind of what he did.
Yeah.
You know, you've sinned? Step into my office and tell me about it. It's like, I don't think that's right. Confession. That's the thought of that's frightening, isn't it?
Yes.
Go tell some pervy old man on the other side of a fucking wall all the horrible things you've done in your life. And then that everything's okay after you do that. What kind of shit is that?
It's very weird.
Who came up with that?
I don't know.
Catholics.
The Catholics.
Right?
But the Methodists?
That's wacky. That's why Ghost is badass, because they make fun of just...
Oh, Ghost is so good.
Everything about... everything almost visually with them or what they sing about, you know, is all like...
It's good
anti,
shit.
Well, they're very much against the Catholic Church.
There you go.
They're Swedish.
All right. Last bit of news before we jump into our one-hit wonder. Moby...
Oh, God.
Moby announces a new book called Then It Fell Apart. And he was on Stephen Colbert promoting it. And Stephen Colbert read it and said, somehow this is a chronicle of a long, dark night of the soul. Also involves funny stories involving Trump, Putin, and a truly baffling array of degenerates. So Moby hasn't really been around since the early 2000s or late 90s, but he's writing books. And did you like Moby at any one point in time?
Fuck no.
Okay.
I don't like music made by computers.
Okay.
I mean, and what did Stephen Colbert say? It read like chicken noodle soup for the soul, right? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Is that what it said?
It read like The Giving Tree.
Right? Yeah.
A long, dark night of the soul. Oh. And it also involves funny stories with Trump, Putin, and a truly baffling array of degenerates.
Fucking...
And dude, that's how the book is called Then It Fell Apart. It's by Moby. And I don't.
He needs to write a book called Then He Went Away.
It's the sequel to his memoir, which is a second memoir. And it's just really weird. It's a journey into the dark heart of fame and the demons that lurk beneath it.
See, this is the same shit.
But it's Moby. Same, who fucks Moby?
Same shit we were talking about with Wu-Tang Clan. This person can't make music anymore, so they got to fucking try to write a book and be a social justice warrior in the fucking Trump era.
There you go.
Right? It's like, just make a record, dude. That's what you're claimed to be able to do.
Yeah, I agree.
I remember when Eminem should have fucked him up that one time.
They did have beef, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, dude. Like, fucking Marshall Mathers should have kicked his ass and then called him your favorite word that rhymes with maggot. Right?
Which word is that? It's a word that gets used on Xbox Live quite a bit.
When anonymous, dude.
Halo,
yeah.
Anonymously. But yeah, that is our news. We're going to...
Do you like Moby?
No.
Okay. Why did you pick that?
Because...
Next time I'm
it's
on...
It's funny to talk about because we can talk about his ass getting kicked. And like,
he didn't,
holy
though.
Shit. Moby is... He's not doing shit right
Dude,
now.
Moby looks funny. Like he brushes his teeth with butter. He does, dude, and he's got that fucking stupid,
see,
like...
This is why we bring up these stories, because it's got
that,
shit like this.
He's got that goofy lisp. He's like... You know what I mean? You ever heard him talk? He's an idiot.
Yes. Well, most of them are, yeah. Right?
Wow. See, that's what happened. They took away bullying, and then those people started to make music.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Fucking unbelievable, man.
Okay. One-hit wonder time, Jacob.
This is going to be tons of fun.
It will be tons of fun. Two tons of fun, actually.
Yeah, see, you got it. You saw what I did there.
I saw what you did there. This song came out in 1982, but it became a one-hit wonder. One hit in 1983. And the song is called It's Raining Men. Not by the Village People, because you could probably confuse yourself like, oh, the Village People did It's Raining Men. They didn't.
Well, you knew it. It's not the Village People because it's chicks singing it.
Correct. This was sung and done by a group called the Weather Girls. However, their original group name was called Two Tons O' Fun. Two very large African-American females formed in San Francisco in 1977. They called themselves Two Tons of Fun, and they were Martha Wash and Izora Armstead, and they were originally backup singers for Sylvester. Do you know who Sylvester is, Jacob?
Oh, yeah, dude. You remember, like, Zapp and Roger and, like, all that kind of weird, like, 80s?
Yes.
It's like 80s pop.
Yeah, he played with, like, the Cockettes at one time. But yeah, this guy is Jerry Curl, dude, like sexual chocolate.
Yeah,
basically.
Dude, Morris Day.
Yes. They were backup singers for Sylvester. Then they formed their duo called the Two Tons of Fun, which they went to the Weather Girls. And that's when they created It's Raining Men, which was on their album called Success.
And it was.
It was a huge success.
Oh, huge.
Huge. It's Raining Men. It's a song written by Paul Jabara and Paul Schaefer in 1979.
Whoa, Paul Schaefer.
Yes,
wrote
that
this?
Paul Schaefer.
Wow, that... Now it all makes sense, actually.
And you know who Paul Jabara, right? Paul Jabara is, right?
No, I don't know who that is.
He wrote Donna Summer's Last Dance, Barbara Streisand's The Main Event Fight. No.
So this guy's had a history of shit.
Correct. The song had been offered originally to Diana Ross, Donna Summer, Cher, and Barbara Streisand. They all turned it down, and the Weather Girls, Two Tons of Fun, got it.
Good.
And they made it an international hit, selling over 6 million copies worldwide.
Well, and they made an incredible music video. That music video is unfucking believable.
So how do you describe this music video? It's 1983.
They gave three teenagers like basic HTML font. Or no, I guess not HTML because it was the 80s. Like bad computer.
They had a green screen, but it's such shitty screens. Green screen, shitty green screen, that not all of it. It's kind of like if you see now, like if a weather guy wears green during his weather cast and you can just like kind of see the outline of him and just the other green or whatever. That's kind of how it is. But worse.
It's a worse version. It's worse than the end of Predator 2.
So it's basically these gigantic women who are in kind of like not lingerie, but like evening gowns.
That's lingerie for these ladies.
Yes, yes. And they're in their house and they're singing like, "I want men." And
they're
going to
get
it's
soaking,
raining men.
They're going to get soaking wet.
They're getting get soaking wet. That is an actual lyric. And all of a sudden, outside their window, there are dudes in with umbrellas, top hats, and Speedos in tube socks on their ankles, falling down.
But they're falling down on like a TurboGrafx 16. You know, like
yes,
like everything's pixelated and you know it's blue outside.
Yeah, it's really weird. And so they fall down on this makeshift like basement set where it's kind of like an old school Godzilla buildings, and there are basically a bunch of almost nude gay male dancers.
Not interested in those women.
Not interested in these. And so there's actually scenes where these women are not wearing bras and they are very, very, very well endowed. And it's just swinging all over the place. And they're just very happy that all these men.
They're raining down on them.
Yeah, they're actually one guy just. There's a shot of his crotch in his.
Yeah, getting lowered down and. Like,
on top of her.
Yeah, man.
super funny.
Good for, that's the most action I bet those women ever had.
I don't know. It's interestingly enough because Martha Wash of the Weather Girls did a duet of this song in 1997 with RuPaul. Very interesting. The song is hailed as a camp classic and more recently as gay dance female anthem.
Wait, what?
That's what the song is being called now, is a gay dance female anthem.
What does that even mean? Like,
I don't know.
Did they parade down the street when it comes on?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. This is confusing. A lesbian dance anthem, but it's talking about raining men. Maybe it's because they're assuming if it's literally raining, they're hitting the ground and it's smashing them.
Correct.
Oh, I get it. That makes sense now. You know what? I'm for that song. Dudes are the problem, right?
Yes.
I mean, maybe we should. There needs to be a call. Thin the herd.
It's raining men.
That doesn't confuse you, though? You're not reading that? A gay female dance anthem for this song?
Yeah. No, it's... No, well, I mean, it's...
Wouldn't that be like the homosexual community going like, hey, Pussy Control is our theme song?
No. Okay, so I guess it's considered a gay dance song and a female anthem separately, I guess. But it's also weird. Wait. Yeah, not a gay dance female.
Right. Yeah, that's why I was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Jacob got confused.
Dude, yeah, this song is confusing. Well, it is confusing because, look, remember even in the video, they're like... When they realize, oh, it's raining men's outside, and then they fucking go out the window.
Yeah, they jump out the window.
Yeah, they jump out the window.
Suicide.
Commit suicide, and then somehow they end up with umbrellas.
Yes.
Like, that's going to help them.
Correct.
They should have just laid down and got ready.
Yeah.
It's raining men.
It's raining men. It's a funny video. And here's the single picture.
Oh, hell yeah.
How do you describe
that? Oh, the fucking rainbow, dude. Yeah. The song describes itself if you listen to it. It's kind of like a Shel Silverstein story. Like if you just close your eyes and visual, and someone reads it to you, you just start to paint the picture in your head.
Well, I just want you to come up with a scenario where Paul Schaefer wrote this song. Paul Schaefer, come up with like Paul Schaefer sitting down. Like, hey,
he's got to be coked.
There are two Pauls that wrote this song.
They're coked out of
Paul
their mind.
Paul, 1979. They're in a room. We're like, what are we writing? Okay. Oh, we want to write a song for Cher or Barbara Streisand. They're popular right now. Let's call it It's Raining Men.
Yeah, well, I think that's like the... Because Paul Schaefer is kind of comedic.
Correct.
His personality, maybe not his... It's like his mannerisms, right? When he's bopping his head around and he's got those goofy-ass glasses. Kind of like Elton John. Like, you look at him and you just kind of giggle.
Yes.
You're like, okay, what's that guy doing?
Because Paul Schaefer, he's most...
Incredible piano player.
He is, and he plays piano for who?
Letterman.
Letterman and does he not play for anybody else?
He plays with a bunch of people. I mean, that guy's been on all kinds of shit. But
right.
I think those guys probably just fucking were like, what's a quick way to make some money on it? I mean, you don't have to like write music to impress people, you know? Like these guys just went, well, okay, we need a theme, and it was probably raining outside, and they went, what if it was raining, what if it started raining dicks?
Raining right? dicks.
And then they probably went, well, okay, well, we can't say that, but what if it rained men? And then we could sneak a sexual innuendo about, like, oh, it's sprinkling men outside.
It's sprinkling
right?
men.
gonna get all moist, right? And then they just went, okay, let's just change that. They probably wrote down vulgar things and this made it PG and then fucking wrote the music.
Yeah, there you go.
That guy's a genius. Paul Schaefer.
He is. He did this. VH1 ranked this song number 35 on their list of 100 greatest dance songs.
Oh, that's a skating rink song. You know, if you're at the skating rink and then that song came on, you get all pumped up and then the lyrics start and then next thing you know, like you're like, wait a minute. Why am I hauling ass through the skating rink to this song? Like Macho Man, you know? Like it gets going that, hey, 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 hey. Hey. And then you're already, but you're already hooked. They already, you're bam, there's no turning back. You just go, yeah, fuck it, we'll roll with it. It's a couple skate.
And this song has been crazy in amount of films. It was in Easy Money.
It was in Deuce Bigelow, wasn't it?
I'm trying to remember. I'm looking. It was in the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Eraser. It was in Scary Movie.
Dude, Arnold.
It was in the Farrelly Brothers movie Stuck on You. It was in Magic Mike. It was also used in sports a few times.
Was it used in Brokeback Mountain?
It was not.
They really dropped the ball on that one.
They did. They did. But yeah, it's Raining Men. It's hell of a song that you can't get out of your head.
I can't get the... I don't hear the song so much as I see the video now.
Yeah, the Weather Girls. They don't make them like that anymore.
What an incredible group name. And then you're kind of like, okay, the Weather Girls, all their songs have to be about Mother Nature, right?
Correct.
And then they are. Like most of them are about like some sort of inclement weather that...
But
some,
also about men.
Right, like, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. They take like a bad thing like, fuck, is it... It's a hurricane outside, but it's filled with cocks.
But it's right? Really like, weird. It's like a bunch of it's a couple of horny broads, and it's like very similar to AC/DC because they just sung about boners and women.
Yeah, tits and fucking vagina, dude.
These chicks are singing about
gay dudes.
Oh, it's funny. It's funny, funny, funny. All right.
I want to watch that video again.
We will. We will. But yes. Moving on to our main event, Bon Jovi. Don't know why, but they are American, formed in 1983.
Jersey.
The same year that It's Raining Men came out, Bon Jovi.
Coincidence?
I think not. came from New Jersey. They featured John Bon Jovi, Richie Sambora, Dave Sabo, David Bryan, Tico Torres, Phil X, Hugh McDonald, and Alec John Such.
Yeah, those are new guys.
It was mostly Richie Sambora and John Bon Jovi, right?
Yeah, and Tico Torres, the drummer.
So, Bon Jovi, what can you say about them? Basically, they were badass, and then what happened? It's very, very weird. Studio-wise, their first album was self-titled Bon Jovi. 1985, they had 78,000 Fahrenheit. And then in 1986 is when they hit the big time, Slippery When Wet. Pretty much every song on that album is a one-hit, big hit single. And then they've made several over the years, and they've just never gotten to where they have been.
They didn't need to. They fucking... You know how much fucking pussy these guys probably got? I don't know why I whispered that.
Say it like you mean it.
Yeah, well, I wish I could. Man.
So what's the deal here?
Bon Jovi, I guess for me, would be like I would consider him a guilty pleasure. Okay. But then again, I really wouldn't. Like how some people would consider Journey their guilty pleasure. Journey kicks ass. Bon Jovi was like of the bands like Poison and... You know, those hair...
They weren't from the 70s, from the 80s.
Right, I know. Yeah. I know that.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
Well, wasn't Journey and Styx from the 70s as well?
Yeah, but Journey got huge in the 80s.
Correct.
Like, they had that... This is what you call AOR, right? Arena-Oriented Rock.
Correct.
This is music made for fucking... To fill arenas, right?
Yeah, it's family-friendly, mostly.
These guys had a fucking... Like, Bon Jovi had a cool, like... They kind of sounded genuine, you know what I mean? Like if you listen to Poison, you're like, okay, this is just goofball shit. These guys were really good songwriters. Bon Jovi was
right,
but man, they're fucking Living on a Prayer, dude. That song's badass.
Okay, so let's
and Runaway, you know that one?
Well, before we get that, let's talk about their first album, 1984.
There's a Skid Row tie-in with Bon Jovi also.
There is?
Yeah, so Dave Snake Sabo, the guitar player in Skid Row, him and John Bon Jovi grew up together.
Okay.
So when Bon Jovi formed, and I think Dave probably, I think he played with them early on, but John Bon Jovi's mom actually suggested to Dave Sabo that he audition Sebastian Bach to sing for Skid Row. So, I think they used to call, like, John Bon Jovi's mom, like, Mother Snake or something like that. She was, like, really involved in, like, the success of this band, of Bon Jovi.
Yeah, Dave Sabo is the snake, yes, correct.
Yeah, Snake Sabo. But they used to call, I think they called either his mom or Dave's mom Mother Snake.
That's cool.
Dude, Bon Jovi is badass, dude.
So, yeah, I see the group Skid... Yeah, there it is, Skid Row. John was impressed with hometown guitarist Richie Sambora, who was recommended by fellow bassist Alec John Such and drummer Tico Torres. Sambora had toured with Joe Cocker, played with a group called Mercy, and had been called in to audition for Kiss. Very weird.
Yeah, that's, dude.
Dude, all over the place.
Rock and roll, man. They're rock and roll right out of the gate.
It's very interesting.
You like Cinderella, don't you? The band?
No, I know the band.
Like, the same kind of thing. Like, these Bon Jovi and, like, Cinderella and, like, Skid Row of the 80s bands that you would consider, I guess, hair bands, these guys were at the top of the tier because they had really good fucking songs, man. They were, like, great songwriters.
They were, because Tico Torres also recorded and played live with, like, the Marvelettes and Chuck Berry.
Tico Torres is a badass fucking drummer.
But like beforehand, Bon Jovi met David Bryan, but David Bryan quit the band before their first album to study medicine. it's very weird, very weird. Interesting. I don't get it. But then 1984 came and John Bon Jovi amassed his amazing musicians and they created Bon Jovi, the first album, their self-titled album, which did very well, don't you think?
Yeah, this one here, though, is where they fucking hit their stride, though. Well, Slippery When Wet, dude. This
yeah,
fucking...
but their first album, they had Runaway, She Don't Know Me, and Burning for Love, which was okay. And then 1985, they came out with 7800 Degrees Fahrenheit, which had In and Out of Love, Only Lonely, Silent Night, and The Hardest Part is the Night. Again, not great. But then it was 1986 when Slippery When Wet came out, and pretty much every song on there is crazy. You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, Wanted Dead or Alive, Raise Your Hands.
Yeah, Even I'd Die for You, man. That fucking... I mean...
Wild in the Streets. It's this album... is crazy.
Yeah, look how many of this is sold.
12 times platinum.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So about this album,
great title name, Slippery When Wet.
Correct. It's
double meaning for all you. Oh yeah,
correct. It spent 8 weeks at number one on the U.S. Billboard charts and is the top selling album of 1987.
Do you remember? When's the last time you took the record out and looked at it? Because there's an awesome thing printed on the
back.
It's
been a while.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes. Oh, yeah!
It's like, you know the Queen album Jazz that has all the naked girls
running? Correct.
Yeah, that's kind of like their version of that, but...
I forgot about that because it is an image on the liner notes of Bon Jovi on top of their cars with at least 10... very scantily clad buxom girls cleaning two vintage cars.
Yeah, like old Ferraris or something.
Yes. So yeah, that is on there. But on the liner notes of Slippery When Wet, you've got all the lyrics and everything. But yeah, this is the album previous to the 7800 Degrees Fahrenheit had not been a very big success. So they basically changed their approach, which brought them here to Slippery When Wet, and is actually heavier than their first two albums. They hired Desmond Child as a collaborator. The band wrote 30 songs and auditioned them for local New Jersey vocalists and New York teenagers, basing the album's running order on their opinions. So basically, they got New York teenagers to tell them, what songs do you like? And we'll put them on there. Bob Rock was the mixer.
You know who Bob Rock is, correct?
No, who is that?
Bob Rock is almost single-handedly responsible for the demise of Metallica.
Really?
He did the Black Album with them.
And but every one of the most popular ones.
And every album since then.
Okay, so yeah.
It was his idea to do like Saint Anger and Load. He plays bass on, I think, those albums.
Okay. So that's where the background went. And then the writing, mostly written by Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora. So there you go.
Young Guns.
It's damn good. Dude, damn good.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people kind of fucking probably write off Bon Jovi as like, you know, they're fucking cheesy and blah, blah, blah. But You ever been to a Bon Jovi concert?
Once.
Okay. What is the, what would you say the gender split is at a Bon Jovi concert? Are there more women or are there more men at a Bon Jovi concert?
The one I was at, if I remember, women outnumbered men. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's Bon Jovi rules for a lot of reasons. That's another one. Because you go to a rock show and it's usually, there's like a line to go to the men's restroom.
Correct.
You know, at a Bon Jovi concert, it's like...
Well, in movies opposite. And TV shows and in life, you don't see a bunch of dudes just screaming, living on a prayer.
No.
It's a bunch of chicks doing it. Yeah.
But those, you need bands like that.
Correct.
Like,
because you can get in with them. And it's
You're like, hey, man, Bon Jovi, dude, Richie Sambora is a very underrated guitar player, too.
He is good.
He is a very good. They're all really good musicians. And then fucking Wanted Dead or Alive. I mean, are you kidding me?
So it's interesting. The song Living on a Prayer, which might arguably be their signature song, according to some people. But Bon Jovi did not want to record it because he didn't think it was good enough. But Sambora convinced him that it was a hit in the making, and so they recorded it. And now.
Huge.
There it's huge.
Huge.
Huge guys. Huge guys. But it, yeah, pretty crazy. There's also a song called Love is a Social Disease that Aerosmith wanted to do, but Bon Jovi got it.
Yeah, and then, you know, I think, what was the album that...
So, interestingly enough, the cover of this album, Slippery When Wet, the first cover that was discussed was the band dressed as cowboys.
Yeah.
But it was later used for the single.
Well, I think they also had a different cover. Like, there was another one that was, I think, a chick in, like, a bikini or something.
Correct, correct.
And then the label was like, no, no, no. We can't use that.
The band named the album Slippery When Wet after visiting the No. 5 Orange Strip Club in Vancouver.
Yeah.
This woman descended from the ceiling on a pole and proceeded to take all of her clothes off. When she got in a shower and soaped herself up, we just about lost our tongues. We just sat there and said, we will be here every day.
Yeah.
That energized us through the whole project. Our testosterone was at a very high level back then.
Yeah, reaffirmed what I just said. Like,
yep.
Bon Jovi is, I'm telling you, like, if you don't get it,
the album
originally
was to feature
out.
A busty woman in a wet yellow t-shirt with the album name on the front shirt. This was stopped for the plastic bag cover.
Yeah, that's what I remember. There was a cover on this because you could, the photo of it is incredible. It's basically it's one of these chicks that's wearing this shirt. Because if you look on this photo, all these shirts, I think it was her.
Yeah.
The shirt that says Slippery When Wet. Because, I mean, look at that.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. That's perfect.
I mean, you should hang this on the wall.
In Japan, most of the albums of this album included the original cover art, which would be excellent to have.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's
if you could find that.
Great cover.
So yeah, that is... but I love that, like... Well, some people think of Bon Jovi, they're like, oh, shit, they got Slippery When Wet. They were at a strip club every day. Strip clubs are creative places.
I rehearsed next door to the clubhouse.
Oh, badass then.
Yeah, I mean, strip clubs are great. Like, what's so wrong about them?
There's nothing
wrong
about them.
They're not going out in the street and, like, grabbing women and putting guns to their head and going, hey, get up there and take your clothes off. These are girls that are just trying to work their way through medical school, and we're just there to help them.
Yes, we are. And I want to say, like, this, my favorite.
Oh, fuck.
If you heard that, Jacob has a penchant for M&Ms, so he just opened up a bag and it just all fell out, but he got them. He's eating them.
Yep.
I would like to say that on this album, Slippery When Wet, you know, you have You Give Love a Bad Name, Living on a Prayer, Wanted Dead or Alive. My favorite song on this album is Raise Your Hands. It starts out with like a fucking hard rock guitar riff, like raise your, and it was in the movie Spaceballs.
Oh, yeah.
Barf was listening to it, rocking out to it.
I forgot about that. It was in Spaceballs.
And it's damn good. Holy God. The producer of this album was Bruce Fairburn. Engineering, of course, Bob Rock, and George Marino is digital remastering.
I had a friend in high school who always called Bon Jovi Van Halen squared. Like, he was like, they're just a fucking Van Halen ripoff. And I was like, they're not trying to be Van Halen at all. Like, the name is similar, But they're not correct. They're not up there trying to be technically proficient. They're trying to write songs that are going to get them laid.
Correct.
Like so, ballady type things.
So where do you go after this album? They went in 1980. They made a 1988. Really... It's called New Jersey, their album.
Yeah, that one's good.
And it has Lay Your Hands on Me, Bad Medicine, Born to Be My Baby, Living in Sin, and I'll Be There for You.
Yeah, dude, Bad Medicine.
Your love is like bad medicine.
Yep.
Bad medicine is what I need. And then in 1992, Keep the Faith.
That's a good album. That has Bed of Roses on it.
Yes, it does. That's a fucking monster. Yeah, I Believe, song, Keep dude. The Faith, Bed of Roses, In These Arms, Dry Country, I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. But you have a story about Bed of Roses, right, recently?
Yeah.
You learned to play Bed of Roses recently, or have you already known to play it?
I've known how to play. I love that song. Like, that song to me, like, I love November Rain. Like, Guns N' Roses, November Rain. That is like a fucking, that is an opus. You know what I mean?
Right.
Bed of Roses is the same kind of thing, but... Richie Sambora's guitar playing on that song is like so, because it's a keyboard piano driven song, right? It's a love ballady song.
Yeah.
But his guitar playing on that's really neat. But yeah, I was learning the solo to that song the other day, and yeah, Shauna came over and I was like, I live in an apartment, so I had my headphones on and I was playing and I was fucking.
You were really jamming.
Oh yeah, dude. I love that. And the solo in that song is ripping. Like it's real tasty and like, so I'm getting into it and I'm fucking, yeah. And then I turn around and like Shauna's standing in my extra room, my music room. And I just went, oh, hey. And then she looked at the computer screen and the only video of it I could find to put through my headphones where the audio was louder was the music video. And so she comes in and she says, what are you doing? And I kind of paused and I was like, well, I knew I wasn't doing anything wrong, but I was like,
you've been caught doing some shit.
I'm like, I'm just learning some Bon Jovi. And she goes, I fucking love this song. Start it over. And I went, okay. But I was one of those things where I don't know. I thought she was going to make fun of me. And then turns out she also loves Bon Jovi.
There you go.
So that's an incredible. I felt like I had been busted though, right?
There you go.
Like if my best friend would have came, like my friend Caleb would have come in and been like, are you in here fucking learning Bon Jovi songs? I would have been maybe slightly embarrassed, but I would have been like, yeah, so what?
So what?
So what? You want to make something of it? You want to make something of it?
What do you want to do?
What are we doing here? What are we doing?
So after that album, they did one in 1995 called These Days.
That's when we've...
Which kind of got into religious material.
Oh, yeah. This is what you call a low that you're getting into with these
And then
guys.
They did Crush in 2000. Actually, in 2000, they had a hit song, It's My Life.
Yeah.
It's my life.
That's not
it's
good, though.
It's now or never. It was a writer, John Bon Jovi, Richie Sambora, and Max Martin.
I don't want to live forever.
That was 2000. That kind of had essence of Slippery When Wet here and there, but
no,
not really.
No, they didn't. They
you don't think so?
Fuck no. Not even New Jersey, the album after this. They had lost their way. Like they were already kind of getting into the fucking
Yeah.
They weren't really rocking and rolling anymore. Like this is a really good rock album.
It is. Then they had Bounce.
Def Leppard is very similar, right? They started out and they had this like cool kind of metal. They were more metal sounding.
They were metal.
And
yeah.
Then they started writing, you know, like fucking Pour Some like anthems.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then Journey's the same way.
But Pour Some Sugar on Me is all about something else.
Yeah, but where do you hear that song?
Correct.
Probably
everywhere.
At this strip club where Bon Jovi saw that, you know?
Yes.
That chick was showering herself up with fucking coconut oil.
And then in 2002, they had their other album called Bounce, which I don't even remember.
Yeah, I can see that cover in my head.
And then the one that I remember, Have a Nice Day, in 2004, 2005, which was very terrible. I remember I was at the University of Kansas when this came out, and people really wanted to love this. And I was like, no.
That's how Coldplay became popular, is because bands like this, instead of just going out and doing rockers, they had to go find their corporate rock somewhere else. And that's how Coldplay and like the Killers, fucking Dave Matthews Band. If Bon Jovi would have just figured it out, they could have crushed all these people like Gwar style.
Yeah.
stepped on their necks and popped their heads off.
And then in 2007, they did Lost Highway, not to be confused with the amazing film.
That's
yeah,
a great soundtrack.
That is, I have it.
Hey, it's what do you great. Think is like the most ultimate music related movie ever?
Oh, we'll have to save that to another time. We'll have to do a soundtrack episode.
Not soundtrack. I'm just saying movie. Like the one that encompasses what the music industry is like. Like, would you say The Doors, you know, or like Almost Famous?
Well, you have Almost Famous, but you have Almost Famous. You have that, which is excellent, but you also have stuff like...
I have the
like
answer.
Dazed and Confused or Empire Records.
Empire Records sucks.
What? It's a great movie.
No, it's not a great movie. Airheads is the answer.
Take over the radio station.
Right? We yeah. want our fucking cassette plate.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah, I love it. It's
great. That's the answer.
All right. So Bon Jovi also did The Circle, What About Now, and most recently, This House Is Not For Sale in 2016.
I mean, those
Phil
fucking...
X replaced Richie Sambora. You can't have Bon Jovi without Richie Sambora.
Well, you can, but because it's Bon Jovi.
Yeah, not John Bon Jovi.
Right. Like, guitar players are, I mean, unless they're very unique players, like, you can't replace Slash.
No.
You know, you can't replace Van Halen. Like, Eddie Van Halen, you can't replace him.
Correct.
But Richie Sambora is a very good guitar player, but with these particular songs, you know, Bon Jovi songs, they're not beating down the door with guitar virtuoso fucking, you know, technicality. They're songs. They're just orchestrated songs.
But you have to say something for Bon Jovi that they're still working. They're still putting out albums every year. They tour almost every year. They're touring right now, and they're even touring next year. They have an unnamed European tour coming up, and it's crazy.
Positive mental attitude rock and roll, man.
Correct.
Like,
correct.
There ain't no – even these sad songs – that Bon Jovi did, they're all kind of like light at the end of the tunnel fucking songs. They're good, man. Like, they're that's a good band.
No.
I don't know why people rail on them. I mean, I guess if you only got like the 2000 era, new millennium Bon
right.
Jovi, that's dog shit. But
so it's interesting, their set list right now, I mean, they kind of open up with their new album, but they also play like a version of Roller Coaster. They do It's My Life, and then the last several songs are kind of all from Slippery When Wet, and they end on Wanted Dead or Alive and Living on a Prayer in their encore. But, I mean, they sell out places. They're making...
Oh, they would sell out American
they're
Airlines
making
Center
over $1.5 million a show.
You know what would be a killer lineup?
What?
Bon Jovi, Journey, and, like, Boston.
Oh, shit.
Right.
Would you put ELO in there?
No.
What about Styx?
No.
Or REO? Or
you no. Said well, it's because Styx and REO Speedwagon are like, they've got a few good songs, but like...
Boston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those first two Boston records, right. Like, get the fuck out of the way. Same with Bon Jovi. If they just went out and played things from the first album up to like 94.
Yeah.
You know, like Keep the Faith.
Yeah.
Every single one of those songs would be a fucking hit. Like, they're killer, man.
They are.
And then Journey is all, I mean, that's what the radio sounds like. That's what the radio sounded like.
So where do you think they go from here? Or what do you want to see from them?
I want Richie Sambora to get back in the band. And they should tour and like do where they play this album in its entirety.
Dude, like, that would be awesome.
Yeah, do Slippery When Wet from front to back with Richie back in the band.
That holy shit, that would be awesome. And it's interesting that...
Someone else is also not in the band either. I think Tico Torres left.
I think so, too. I think it's mostly different people now. Minus Bon Jovi, the front guy.
Yeah, because I think David Bryan is still with them. Like,
yeah.
He left, and then he's the keyboard player.
Bon Jovi was just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2018 this
yeah.
year.
Well, that sucks, kind of, though. Because there's other people, like... That should be in there. Don't get me started on that.
No, we won't. We won't.
We should have a whole episode dedicated to
But let's talk about that. The band, Jon Bon Jovi, recorded a solo album called Blaze of Glory and a soundtrack to the movie Young Guns 2. And that was just Jon Bon Jovi. This was during the sabbatical of the whole band. But Blaze of Glory and Young Guns 2, that was an Academy Award nomination and a Grammy nomination for... for that song, Blaze of Glory.
Yeah, the movie didn't get nominated.
Yeah, Young Guns 2, yeah. Released in 1990, the title track, Blaze of Glory, peaked at number one.
I'm saying the movie didn't get nominated, because that movie sucks.
What, Young Guns 2?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it didn't get anything.
Yeah, that's what all the things that got nominated for were music-related.
Correct.
That is, yeah, dude. Jon Bon Jovi's a fucking good songwriter, man.
So, yeah, it's not a great movie, but
he
knows what he's doing.
He's in the movie, too, I think.
Is he?
I think so.
I'm trying to remember. Jon Bon Jovi. But yeah, Bon Jovi, man. It's good shit.
Rock and roll from New Jersey, man. Like, get out of the way.
Don't
leave your girlfriend in the room with him.
If you have a record collection, you're going to want Slippery When Wet in there.
You're going to want all of the first four.
Yeah, there you go. Bon Jovi. And that wraps up our episode, our 10th episode, our Malcolm X episode of the Unbalanced Note on the Multimedia Men podcast. I'm Brian Kluger with Jacob Douglas. Jacob Douglas is on the internets. You can find him on Fartbook. And
I'm not on Facebook.
I said Fartbook.
I'm not on that either.
Okay. But he's on Instagram at Scrumchulescence.
Scrumchulescence.
And so you used to be in a band called Square Wheel, but now you're in a new band, perhaps. Do they have a name? Are they playing anywhere?
We're working on all that right now.
Okay, cool.
I'll let you. You'll be the first to know.
We'll announce it here.
I got to get my app off the ground first.
There you go. Yes, the app, which we'll come back. But we'll be back next week, and it will be a fantastic episode. Hopefully, for the week of Halloween, we will be doing a very fun Halloween type of episode. But until then, we are the Multimedia Men, Brian Kluger, Jacob Douglas, the Unbalanced Note. We love you, and you give love a bad name.
Nice.
And it's Raining Men.